And now, today's word.
And the third thing about her is that she acted in the morning. Whilst the other one acted at night, she acted in the light. She was very sincere. She was not secretive. She was not scheming. She was sincere. Her actions were in the light. And if you look at it, there are two kinds of light associated with her. The dawn light and the early morning light. She woke up at dawn to feed her child. She saw the child was dead, but she didn't make a decision. She said, let me wait for a greater light because I need to properly examine this in order to make a decision. And when she examined the morning, she realized that is not my child. There are people who make decisions with the dawn light, with a little light, and don't wait for a greater light to have a greater picture and to make a decision. But wisdom doesn't make a decision at dawn. Wisdom makes a decision in the morning. Wisdom waits till they have a broader picture, a greater light, a greater understanding to be able to tell whether what they have is theirs or not. This woman was a wise woman. So of these two, which one are you? Not only for the women, but for the men. Which one are you? Are you the reckless one who's destroying yours and stealing what other people have got? Are you the wise one who is preserving what you have and diligently protecting what you have? When these two women brought their case to Solomon, Solomon put them to a test. So let's look at Solomon's test. It was twofold test. The first test is kill the living. Divide the living child in two. Since they were both fighting over the living child, Solomon wanted each one to have a piece of what they were fighting for. The only thing was that if they had a piece of what they were fighting for, what they had would not be living. So Solomon's test is kill the living. And number two, share the dead. Give each mother a piece of a dead child. Provide them a half of something they can't use. And whenever we are fighting over something, we have to think about Solomon's test. Are we going to fail this test or pass it? We will kill the living and share the dead. And many times we kill the living and share the dead. It happens in marriages. We kill a living marriage and just enjoy a dead one. We kill a living business and share the dead. In our effort to fight for something, we have to be careful. We're not killing the living just to enjoy the booty of what is dead. Some victories are not worth the fight. Because yes, you may win it, but it's just a half-dead child. Yes, you won, but what did you win? You won the debate, but what did you get? You fought and fought and won, but what did you get? So Solomon says, I'm going to kill this child, and both of you will have nothing. You're going to just share the dead. And let's look at the two responses to Solomon's test. The first woman had what I call the destroyer's logic. The destroyer's logic says, if I can't have it, let it be destroyed. This is the language of many power struggles. Wherever people struggle for power, you hear this language and see this attitude. You hear it in relationships where there's power struggle. Could be a boyfriend and a girlfriend. The boy says, if you wouldn't marry me, then nobody else will marry you. So I'm going to destroy your reputation so nobody else can marry you. The girl says, if you won't marry me, then I'm going to destroy you and make sure nobody marries you. The destroyer's logic says, if I don't have it, nobody else will have it. I'm going to destroy it. You hear it and in workplace power struggles, industrial actions and strikes. People go on strike and destroy the property that feeds them. Recently, I heard about some students who went on strike and burnt their school down. So where would you go for classes after the strike is over? You destroy the factory. Where would you work after the strike is over? You destroy the home. Where would you sleep after the strike is over? You destroyed your woman, your man, and you said the most horrible things about her. And then the marriage problem was resolved. Whom do you marry? The woman that you told everybody bad things about, the man that you insulted to everybody, is he the one you're going to marry? The destroyer's logic says, if I don't have it, I'm going to destroy it so nobody else will have it. I hope that is not your logic. I hope that is not your language. The destroyer's logic says, I want it even if it will not benefit me. That's the thing this woman said. The woman says, go ahead, divide the child and give me the dead part. What do you want a half-dead child for? A dead body divided into, what would you do with it? Would you eat it? Would you bury it? Would you cuddle it? But she says, I want it. It's amazing the kinds of things people want. Half-dead babies. It's the language of the envious and the self-seeking. Those who want what other people have at all costs. They don't care the damage they cause to others. They don't care whether they are fighting, what they are fighting for will benefit them. All they want is that the other person has it, and if it will destroy me, I still want it. That's not a voice of wisdom. Many of us are fighting for things we don't need. Fighting for things we don't need. Fighting for property we don't need. We have everything, but we still have one the little that somebody else has. And even if it will be destroyed, we don't care. It will not benefit us. I don't care. I just want it. Because I have to make sure he doesn't get it. Let's look at the other woman, the preserver's logic. Remember, wisdom is a builder. Foolishness is a destroyer. You see, one says, I'm going to pull it down. Let's look at the preserver's logic, the builder's logic. The builder's logic says, though I can't have it, I still want it to live. I can't have it, I still want it to live. It's the language of compassion. And only a few people speak this language. You can only speak this language when you're mature. And in my adult life, I can say that of the people of this earth, probably only about 5% of the people, 10% maximum, speak this language. Who would say, if I don't have it, let it live. I can have it, but let it have another opportunity. I can't marry her, but let her have peace and joy with somebody else. I can't marry him, but let him enjoy with somebody else. The relationship didn't go on well, and he proposed to me and changed his mind. But it's okay. Somebody else will marry him. Only a few people can talk this way. Probably 5%. The majority would say, divide the baby. The voice of the preserver. The voice of the preserver says, I sacrifice my right so I can preserve what I love. I have a right to it, but I sacrifice my right so I can preserve what I love. This is the language of one who nurtures, one who has a sense of ownership. The mother saw the life of her child as more important than her right to claim motherhood. Yes, she was the mother. Yes, she gave birth to the child. Yes, she had dreams for her child. Yes, she was right. But what's the dead child to my dreams. What is the dead child? It's like the mother of Moses, who could give up her child, Moses, to be destroyed. But she says, rather than destroying the child, let somebody mother this child. And she put that child, Moses, on the Nile River, who was discovered by somebody else. And I can imagine the years of agony when she knew, that's my child. That's my child. That's my child. But somebody else is claiming him. And somebody is nurturing him. And he's calling somebody else mother. But she says, that's my child. That's my child. For 40 years. But one day that child came back to her as a redeemer, because she gave up her right for what she loved. Let me just say this. If you're going to be wise, it's not about going to school. It's about whether you preserve or you destroy. That relationship, it's gone bad. But are you going to destroy that man? Are you going to destroy that woman? Your marriage is not going well, but are you going to destroy the children and destroy their father before them and destroy their mother before them so that you can win the argument? Wisdom doesn't think that way. Wisdom says, it's mine, I know. I have preserved mine, but rather than it dying, let it live. Are you ready to let it live? There are people who leave places. Sometimes even it happens in the church. A pastor feels he has to move on because he's not happy where he is. But in leaving, he wants to destroy the congregation so that everybody can say, when he left, nothing worked. Yes. But when you destroy the congregation, you are not just winning a case, you are destroying people's faith, people's commitment to God, because people believe pastors are honest and sincere. And here you are behaving like a crude unbeliever. You may harm somebody eternally. There comes a time when you don't need to win the argument. You just have to say, let the baby live. I will move on. Let the baby live. That's the voice of wisdom. Wisdom builds. Foolishness tears down. So consider all the things you're fighting for in your office, at home, your family relationships, you and your brother, you and your sister, you and your cousins. Consider what you're fighting for. Is it worth it? Are you going to have a half baby delivered to you? Are you splitting the family in two? And what do you get? Yes, you won, but what did you get? A split family. A split relationship. A destroyed business. A destroyed church. A destroyed nation. A destroyed community. After you won your case. But the one who says, I am right, but I want the baby to live, that is the right person. That is the wise person. Because wisdom has built a house. And what wisdom builds, wisdom preserves. Wisdom does not superintend over the tearing down of what she has painfully built. And I just want to counsel you, if you are in the process of destroying something that has been built, think again. You are hurt. You are disappointed. You've been mistreated. You've been wrongly accused. You've been given a dead baby. Is that hurt big enough for you to destroy everything? Are you one of those who is saying, when I leave from here, fire will burn everything to the ground? I have felt that way before. And I think all of us have felt that way before. When my father died, the relatives came to our home, and my mother had died the previous year. My father died the next year, and his relatives came. I remember it so well as a teenager, and they took everything away. Everything. They came, there was nobody in the house, and they took everything. The little we had took everything and left me. And I was alone in the house because all my siblings had been distributed to relatives and I was the only one in the house. They took everything. But last year, the chief of my father's village came to this office here with a goat. And the elders of the village to come and thank me because I gave them water. Sunk a borehole for them, and they had never had water in that village before. Yes, what they did was wrong, but that's why we serve a great God. He is able to give you far more than what you give up. And if you don't let bitterness lead you so you call for destruction and destroy people, God will give you far more than what you gave up. Because wisdom will always win and wisdom will always prevail. I pray that God will help each one of us not to be destroyers, not to be ones who pull down, but men and women of wisdom. We may not have it all. We may be harlots, but we have wisdom and we will preserve what we have built. God bless you.